Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots across the American redoubt in the free zones, in other pockets of free zones across the fruited plains, and especially those who are very near and dear to our hearts, those of you in occupied territory fighting the good fight. And it is really good to have you guys with us. Hopefully you had a blessed week, and you're getting ready for a blessed weekend. Beautiful fall weather ahead of us for the next few days. My favorite season. This is great. You've just tuned in to the voice of the American Redoubt, and we're here to shed light of truth on the lies, and we're here to inform, encourage, inspire, and motivate you to action in the fight to preserve liberty and our heritage. And one of the things that we want to do is increase your situational awareness and promote resiliency among the body of God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots. Wherever you may be. Now, we live in a fallen world permeated by ugliness and sin. It is becoming worse by the day, and it can become depressing, can it? Especially when you feel like you're all alone. Well, you need to know you're not alone. You're not the only one that sees the world going insane and calling you crazy. When you know that you're not, but you begin to feel like you are, and I've said this often, a lot. Well, I want to put some things into perspective here, and this is something that I reiterate often. It's necessary. We need to rehear this because we're going to touch on some of the headlines, stuff we've been following, stuff we've been talking about, things that you guys have seen. But I was doing my Bible study yesterday and this morning, and this morning it all kind of just like came together, and I decided to change directions for how I wanted to do this week's show and what I wanted to cover. And by the way, on that note, a little side note here, I will be doing the podcast tomorrow evening. However, we have a live streaming issue that I don't know if we'll be able to live stream it. And if not, we'll get it uploaded to our Podbean site, radiofreeredoubt.podbean.com, where you can download all of our previous shows. And if we can't get it live streaming, we'll get it uploaded right away as soon as we can tomorrow night. So you'll have access to that, you know, through the week. So but anyway, we're going to be doing a show tomorrow. The podcasts are going to be back on. They were supposed to happen last week, but I had a course, a 2.5-day course, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, that just wiped out my whole weekend. And when I announced that we were going to be doing the podcast starting last weekend, it was an oversight on my part that I had that course. So, this Bible study that I've went through in my daily reading was really dealing with fear. And, this is easy to get caught up in watching the events of the world. And we have to pay attention. We were given signs for a reason, so we'd pay attention to them, so we know what season we're in. We also need to know how that affects us and impacts us so that we can adequately respond, so that we can be effective, so we can prepare ahead of time for those opportunities to advance the kingdom, so we can prepare spiritually, prayerfully, physically, logistically, mentally, prepare for these things, and also prepare to provide for our families. If you're in a position of leadership, whether you are a pastor or some type of small group or an organization, maybe a business, a ministry, or a family, you have a duty to protect and provide for your flock, no matter what form that might come in. So especially as leaders, and if you are a husband, you're a leader. If you're a single mom, you're a leader. You have to step into that man's role and wear two hats and dual role, because you have people that are looking to you for provision and for guidance and instruction and nurturing and protection. So we need to pay attention to current events. We must have good situational awareness. Now, there's some things that there's nothing you can do about. They're lying to us about how much radiation is really in the Pacific Ocean because of Fukushima. Well, okay, that's great. I'll just buy a farm-raised fish or something taken from the Atlantic. All right, that's about as much as I can do about it. Whatever it is, contrails. Some people really get caught up in some of this stuff. What can you do about it? There's so much to pay attention to. How about, this is my personal policy, how about if I focus on something that I can impact, something that I can do something about? Let's look at North Korea, for example. Now, I directly cannot impact North Korea's nuclear policy, but I can anticipate the trajectory of events and developments, how that could personally impact me. Now, I can't do anything to stop North Korea's nuclear program. I can't stop them from firing a missile over the United States. But I can look at the effects of that if that were to unfold and project that into how that could personally affect me, and then make appropriate preparations. Not out of fear, but as a real, viable threat that could require action on my part to anticipate. There's a lot of threats out there. Wildfires, hurricanes, not here in the American Redoubt, but folks that live in hurricane zones. We have 4 hurricanes hit this season. There are people that are still, their lives are completely changed forever. They're still dealing with the aftermath. It hardly seemed real before the hurricane came. Now, it's hard for them to imagine what their neighborhood even looked like prior, much less having a normal life after weeks and weeks of living in squalor and stifling heat and no electricity and no air conditioning and no communications. So these are very real things that happen. What can you do to anticipate what very real threats could disrupt your lifestyle, but for a reason, not to be in fear, but to be purposeful about, strategic in your thinking? Okay, so let's look at North Korea. Right now, they're stating they're going to wipe us out. Iran says they're going to wipe the U.S. and Israel off the map. Now, both of these countries have aggressive nuclear programs. We already know that North Korea is capable of making good on their threats. So let's talk about this. First, we'll cover the bad and the ugly, and then we'll cover the good. Now, yesterday morning, Trump gave a speech basically outlining where we're at with Iran. And I love the way he even just started off his speech. I am proud to call him my president. He's not my savior. He's not America's savior. He is not going to make America great again. But God could be using him to implement policies that could lead toward America becoming great again. But I'm going to talk about what will make America great again here in just a little bit. But listen to the opening of this speech. I love this. Take a listen.
Thank you very much. My fellow Americans, as President of the United States, my highest obligation is to ensure the safety and security of the American people. History has shown that the longer we ignore a threat, the more dangerous that threat becomes. For this reason, upon taking office, I've ordered a complete strategic review of our policy toward the rogue regime in Iran. That review is now complete.
I absolutely love that. That's a man of action right there. That is, that's a president right there. My number one responsibility is to protect the American people and United States interests. And I've identified a threat. And we're going to do something about it. No, he's not talking about militarily, not talking about going to war, but sweeping away these failed, embarrassing policies of the previous regime led by the Muslim that we will that will remain unnamed. But his speech, he lays out this murderous regime's past and lays it out right there. He's right. That is their chant. Death to the U.S. and death to Israel. He's not pulling any punches. He's saying this is a real threat to us and we're not going to ignore it. Oh, listen to this.
Given the regime's murderous past and present, we should not take lightly its sinister vision for the future. The regime's two favorite chants are death to America and death to Israel. Realizing the gravity of the situation, the United States and the United Nations Security Council sought over many years to stop Iran's pursuit of nuclear weapons with a wide array of strong economic sanctions. But the previous administration lifted these sanctions just before what would have been the total collapse of the Iranian regime through the deeply controversial 2015 nuclear deal with Iran.
So he's dead on. He's dead on right. And does he seem fearful? No. Very practical, matter of fact, honest analysis of a very real threat. And he's dealing with it. He's taking steps to mitigate that threat so that he can protect that which he has a duty to protect. It's on a national scale. What's the smallest cellular unit within a nation, of a nation? That is the family. So as the head of the family, you have just as much of an obligation to anticipate realistically, to look at potential harm and mitigate that and take steps to mitigate threats to your family, including preparing. That also includes preparing. So he goes on. We'll post a link to this speech. I definitely strongly recommend that you listen to it. Just sort of look at his attitude as far as leading and taking seriously his role as a leader to protect those he's in charge of. Talked about the failure of, they mentioned, they gave Iran, well, they lifted a bunch of sanctions that made just over $100 billion available to them. But then they gave him cash, $1.7 billion in cash flown over on a cargo plane. He says the U.S. government gave Iran $1.7 billion in cash. Now, the U.S. government doesn't have that kind of money. They don't make money. They take money. They transfer money. It wasn't theirs to give. You know who it was? Ours. That's your money and my money. That the previous administration, which will not be named, took $1.7 billion of your hard-earned cash, my hard-earned cash, and gave it to a known state sponsor of terrorism. Unbelievable. I'll tell you what, if I were put in charge like King Asa or King David or some, I mean, there would be some people swinging in the air for treason. But, well, enough fantasizing about that. Okay, so let's get off of Iran real quick. Let's talk about North Korea. Now, a lot has happened with North Korea. North Korea's warning, its hand is on the trigger and is prepared to launch a salvo of missiles at U.S. territory Guam, which, of course, we know will escalate into full-blown conflict. And they're saying that maybe they should move their hand closer to the trigger for taking the toughest countermeasure. That's what they said. In a statement published by North Korean state media, Pyongyang said, that means Kim Jong-un, Pyongyang, which is a city, said, the military drills let us take our hand closer to the trigger for taking the toughest countermeasure. Now, what are they talking about here? They've already talked about wiping out America with an EMP, which they have the capability of doing. There are a couple of EMP articles, but if you guys who don't follow Drudge, I strongly recommend you. They've got a great app. Put it on your smart device and get regular updates from Drudge Report. But there was a congressional report. This is just basically rehashed information. It's hitting the news as if it's new information, but it's not. North Korea nuclear EMP attack is an existential threat that, according to this report, would result in the deaths of 90% of Americans. That's the latest report. Now, that latest report is actually supported by previous research. There is a great book from a great researcher named William Forshin. Now, he wrote a book called One Second After, and it is about the effects of an EMP. So he took the scientific data and research on a nuclear attack, specifically an EMP attack. Then he wrote a fictional story based on what life would look like for small town America in the event of this very real threat. He has testified before Congress. Congress takes this threat, well, some of them in Congress take this threat very seriously. But the majority of those in Congress who are aware of this are dragging their feet. Why? There's nothing in it for them. There's no way to make money off of this for them. And they want to stay away from it because it just promotes fear. And nobody wants to go anywhere near being afraid. And that's one of the things that Trump has taken so much heat for. He's just doom and gloom, spreading fear. Well, there's some things that you should actually take very seriously. And domestically, this is from Forward Observer. What I'm doing is building your situational awareness. Remember, we're still in the bad and the ugly. We're going to get to the good in a minute, so hang in there with me. Domestically, from Forward Observer, Sam Culper, in his executive summary analysis, intelligence analysis for this week. Domestically, the next 30 days do have a few events that could worsen the U.S. domestic conflict, albeit at a low-grade conflict now. I believe that we could be one event away, one attack, one fatality, or one event that dominates a 24-hour news cycle from much worsening conditions. So on October 18th, alt-right leader Richard Spencer is scheduled to speak at the University of Florida as he kicks off his college campus speaking tour. And on 28 October, two alt-right groups will hold a rally in Shelbyville, Tennessee, which is expected to draw Antifa counter-demonstration. And, of course, 04 November, which we've had our eyes on, we're going to talk about as we get a little bit closer here, probably next week, is what we're calling Refuse Fascism Day. Refuse Fascism Day. Now, Refuse Fascism is actually just a front group for the Revolutionary Communist Party. And they're planning a day of nationwide protests that they hope turns into days-long or weeks-long events that force President Trump to resign. We're likely to see violence in the usual places like Berkeley, Portland, Seattle, New York, and possibly other places. What we have here, for those of you who follow these things, and I do follow these things, and from a historical perspective also from my background in the military, watching, you know, irregular warfare, civil war, and indicators. Well, all the indicators of domestic conflict with the potential to degenerate into full-scale civil war exists in the United States. That is a reality. That's not doom and gloom. That's not fear-mongering. It is taking an honest, objective assessment based on what we know about other conflicts that have happened around the world, overlaying that on top of the United States' social, economic, political landscape, and all the indicators there are there, and the trajectory that we're on is telling us we are headed toward internal conflict without any outside influences like North Korea or Iran or somebody else putting a stick into the spokes and flipping us on our face. So that's doom and gloom talking about all this and fear. Let's talk about fear. Should you fear? Just let that sit there for a second. And now I'll answer that question for you. Yes, fear is healthy. The right kind of fear. Anybody done any public speaking? Anybody been in a combat zone? Everybody who's honest is going to say, yeah, I was afraid. But that fear like drives you. It's not a paralyzing fear. But that's not really what I'm talking about either. Fear is healthy. What is the right kind of fear? When you're facing war, famine, getting nuked, EMP'd, should you be fearful of that? Nope. I was doing my Bible study this morning, and that's when something came to me, and I decided to take today's show in a slightly different direction from where I'd originally gone. Bad things happen. Now, bad things have happened in the Bible. We can look at that. So look at godly men facing calamity, facing real world catastrophic situations. Let's just look at one, Joseph in Egypt. He was given a warning through divine revelation. He was warned of 7 years of abundance and then followed by 7 years of famine. Did he fear? Was he afraid? Was he chewing his fingernails off about this 7 years of famine that's coming? Well, yes, he actually did fear, not the famine. He feared the Lord. And that's what my Bible study led me through this morning. We shouldn't be afraid of EMPs or nukes or civil war or any of this kind of stuff, but we do have an obligation when we see objectively, realistically, a viable potential threat to take action. So let me read something to you real quick. This is out of Psalm 34. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Huh, we're supposed to fear the Lord? So in verses 11 through 14, he says, well, he talks about what fear is. Let me read it to you. This is pretty cool. 11 through 14. In 34, 11 through 14, come you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What does that mean to fear the Lord? Let's go back to 33, 18 through 19. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, that's spiritual, and to keep them alive in famine, that's physical. So we don't fear the famine. We fear him, and he will preserve us through those things. So how do you fear the Lord? Because I'm running out of time. Well, that's what takes us over to chapter 34, verse 11 through 14. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Oh, pray tell. How do I fear? You're always talking about being a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot. That used to be such a staple in America. God-fearing Christians. What does that really mean? You have to be taught that. So let's read this. It's right here. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue. Here's the instructions for fearing the Lord. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. That's it right there. I will teach you to fear the Lord. Somebody who fears the Lord does this. Now, we often misplace this because we want to fear man, don't we? What will they think of me? How will they react to me? Will I be excluded from the cool kids club? The inner circle of really neat people? Popular people? Influential or beautiful people? Popular people? And sometimes we fear events. War, famine, hurricanes. We're misplacing our fear. You shouldn't be living in fear. Yes, you should. You should be living in fear of the Lord in a healthy way. Those who fear the Lord, the angel of the Lord will encamp around you. That's what I desire. Hopefully I want to be able to put that onto you guys, project that onto you guys. So do a reality check. There are bad things happening to good people all around the world. The underground church is thriving right now. Why? Because they're under persecution. Very real persecution. That's real. Those are bad things happening to people. They fear the Lord. They don't fear of getting arrested. They don't fear of where their food's going to come from. Going to combat, they fear the Lord. And they're a little afraid of combat too. Anybody who's honest is going to tell you that. But more than anything, they fear the Lord. And that's a healthy fear. Read up more on it. Read Psalms 33 and Psalms 34. Those two chapters. It's have a highlighter. Take notes. So, yeah, we don't fear these things in the world. We use these opportunities that will open up for us. Anyway, I want to thank our sponsor for this half hour. I know it went really fast. Riverfront Suites in beautiful St. Mary's, Idaho. It's fall. The fall colors are out, and this place is right on the St. Joe River. Go to riverfrontsuites.com and thank them for sponsoring and supporting Radio Free Redoubt. That's a Patriot-owned business there. If you need a place to lay your head, a place to crash out while you're looking for property, looking to strategically relocate to the American Redoubt, the free zone. All right, you have a blessed rest of the weekend. We'll talk to you tomorrow night. This is John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name, too.